Okay, we are on page 481, 482. Geras HaKodesh Siman Yud Zion, chapter 17. And the top number is Kuf Chaf Hei. This is a tzedakah letter. And there is a very, very interesting twist on this one. In every letter that he gives, he's general. This is most likely a general letter, which is written to the community at large. And the letters always present some sort of nuance in why it is that you should give tzedakah. Mm-hmm. Okay, so he starts. Naida, it is known. Usually letters start with some kind of a verse, a pasuk, with some kind of a greetings, a blessings, some sort of an insight, some sort of something. Right here he starts, right off the top, hey, listen. Okay? That's the way he starts off here. He starts with both barrels blaring in chapter 17. This is going to take us a couple minutes to explain. It is known that with an arousal from below, that a person arouses in his heart the attribute of kindness and mercy on all of his needs which require mercy, there arouses then an arousal from above to arouse in him great mercy from the source of mercy and to flow to him the fruits of this world and the principle in the world to come. Okay, that is loaded. Okay. First of all, he starts with the word Naida. Unfortunately, there are no dates on these letters. We don't know when this was written. The only thing that we could say, it was written sometime between 1773 and 1813. And why can we limit to that? Because that's when the Alter Rebbe was Rebbe. But other than those, 40 years, we can't tell you.
Don't have a clue.
Haven't got a clue.
Haven't got a clue.
What were the circumstances behind it? If it was sent to any specific region over any other specific region, if it was published somehow, somewhere in some kind of a text or a newspaper or something, we have no clue. These are just the letters that have been kept to us. And then when the Mittler Rebbe put together a Geras HaKodesh, when he printed the Tanya again for what I think the seventh or eighth time, when that time they had a Geras HaKodesh in it, so he didn't think it necessary, because this is all posthumously from the Alter Rebbe, he didn't think it necessary to put in dates and things like that or any background as to why the letter had been written. So, but he says it's known. So saying that it's known means I don't have to go into explanation about this. This has already been discussed, which is probably going to lead me to believe that this letter was written sometime after the printing of the Tanya already, because the concept of Isarusa de la Tatis, Gurum Isarusa de la Ela, is that the arousal from below causes an arousal from below above has already been discussed in Tanya in several places.
Right.
So what is this? What's the deal over here? Is that we are the Mekabel. When we say Tata, we are the recipients of whatever it is that Hashem is giving to us. When is it that a recipient is a recipient? Is when they make themselves available to receive. We had a Hayomim not too long ago that it doesn't help. It could be raining all day and all night. If you didn't plow your field and put seeds in the ground, it's not going to help.
Not much help, yeah.
The rain is just going to roll right off. It's not going to be any blessings there. So there has to be that the Mekabel makes themselves into a Mekabel. So here it is. It says that a person asks, we ask every day, three times a day, that for all of our needs, Hashem should forgive us, Hashem barach aleinu es hashana hazais, give us good kids, take us back to Jerusalem, all these things we ask every single day. And when we asking, hopefully we're meaning it. Even though there is the old joke, what's the difference between a Jew who prays in a synagogue and a Jew who prays in a casino? You ever heard this one?
No.
The Jew in the casino, means it.
Right, sure he does.
Yeah. So the
yeah, that's sad. It's true, but it's sad.
So the so we're gonna hope that when we're asking Bakashas Trachav, and there's also Hayyarim from this week also, that says, listen, if you haven't got the ability, you don't have the knowledge, the foresight, the patience, the time to sit and think about all the kavanas that go with davening. Mm. So then at least have the kavana, a general kavana, that listen, God, if I had the time, patience, knowledge, and forewithal to have the right kavana, just throw it in for me right here at this point. Okay, whatever it was that the Anshei Knesset Gedolei intended,
whatever they meant that I should mean.
Yeah, whatever the Rizal came up with, that even though they may not have even thought about it, yeah, throw that in too.
Yeah.
It's a very interesting thing.
It's good.
Because when you're talking about davening,
wow,
how is it that the Rizal could come up with things that the Anshei Knesset Gedolei, the men of the Great Assembly, didn't have in mind? So there is a story involving the Rebbe's father and the Rebbe Rashab. The Rebbe Rashab called the Rebbe's father one of his three chassidim. I don't know, remember who the other two were. Okay, so, but knowing who the Rebbe's father was and the things that, and the way that he operated, we could understand the caliber of what he meant by chassidim and the fact that there were two more of them.
He wasn't playing, yeah.
Right. And the, it says the Friedrich Rebbe had one chassid.
Yeah.
The Rebbe.
Sheesh.
And the Rebbe bemoaned the fact that he had no chassidim. Okay, so the Rebbe's father came and had a yechidus with the Rebbe Rashab.
Yeah.
And the Rebbe Rashab asked him, "What do you do with your balabatim on Shabbos?" So he said that they started a shir in Samach Vav. Samach Vav is it's like the rocket science of Chassidus. Mm-hmm. It's heavy duty. You ever learn Chazam Chavav?
Yes, with Brad Brooks.
Yeah, it's heavy duty. Okay. I've learned Samach Vav with physicists who have just said, wow. So, is it really? So he said to him, how long ago, he said, where are you up to? He said, or how long ago did you start? He said, we started, this is like right after Tishrei, and this is like after Hanukkah. So he said, so where are you up to? So he said, we're up to Daf Dalet. He said, you're studying 7-8 weeks over here. You're up to Daf Dalet. The whole first page is a piece of Gemara. Mm-hmm. It's a whole back and forth about Rosh Hashanah and Shabbos, and if you could blow the shofar, you not blow the shofar, and Rava making a decree why you shouldn't. The whole back and forth, it's all straight Gemara. So he said, what are you doing? So he said, he's making diukim. He's being exact in the word and explaining the words. So the Rebbe Rashab said to him, can I hear some of your diukim? Can I hear some of your explanations? So the Rebbe's father taught the Rebbe Rashab a shir in Samach Vav that the Rebbe Rashab said. Mm-hmm. Okay, you get the situation over
yes,
here?
Yes.
So the Rebbe Rashab was impressed and he said, it's all true, but I didn't have it in mind when I said it.
I hear.
Okay, so the fact that if they said it, you know, when we know that the Rebbeim, when they were saying Maimorim, were in a whole different, another state of consciousness.
A being, yeah, a different being.
Right? I heard from Larry Reznikov of Hashalom at this table, mm-hmm, right here, where we're sitting,
yeah,
that back in... when was it? Yutes Kislev and Tashin Lamed Ches, after the Rebbe had a heart attack, and they said, okay, you can have a Fabrengen. You can make a Fabrengen on Yutes Kislev, mm-hmm, but you're going to be wired with an EKG so that we can monitor it. Mm-hmm. Okay, and was it Dr. Weiss was up in the WLCC, which is where the phones and all the gadgets were, and this way he could see the Rebbe. And they had the wire running like under the floorboards and up through the paneling. They made a whole thing that, and then the machine, the meter was in the WLCC office. So the thing's going fine, and then they started the mimer, and by the mimer it flatlined. And Weiss is looking, he sees, he's lit up, he's giving a mimer, he sees, and it's flatlined. So he figured that the plug must have fallen out. So he's going to go after the mimer, he's going to plug it back in. When the Rebbe stopped with the, saying, when the Rebbe finished the mimer, so the EKG returned to normal. The plug never fell out. Okay, I heard this from Resnick, and Weiss denies it. So, you go figure. We can't ask Larry Weiss, Larry Resnick, unfortunately, but Ira Weiss says it never happened, and I heard it from Resnick personally. Mm-hmm. So, but the Rebbe was in a whole other world. And the fact that the Rebbe stopped saying Maimorim when the Rebbetzin passed away. The Rebbetzin said, my connection, the Rebbe said, my connection to you is through her. He said that many times. So when there was, when she wasn't around anymore in this world, so the Rebbe felt that the connection wasn't there, and he stopped saying Maimorim. Even to the point that the Rebbe had the intention of explaining the Maimer Basel Ligani, and to finish the each letter each year another chapter, he stopped. Tashin Mem Tes, there was no explanation. He just handed out a Maimer that he already had said before, and there was no Maimarim after that. So the and even after that, there's very short. I don't remember exactly when, but the Fabrengians stopped very shortly thereafter, during the week after that too. So, but it's known. So now back to the matters at hand over here, that we have to start out. We're the ones, the recipients. We want and we want and we want. Okay. So the first thing you have to do is you have to put up first. You put up first. And what does he say? That a person has to arouse in his heart the attribute of kindness and rachmanis for what he needs. Okay? That this refers to the Avodah Shebalev, this is during the time of davening, and even if it is, doesn't necessarily davening, there's davening midiraisa also, there's davening according to the Torah, which davening according to the Torah is if you need something, stop what you're doing. Reflect on the greatness of Hashem. Say, listen, God, you're really great. I need one of these. Thank you. Which is the way the Shemoneh Esrei is set up. The first three brachas are praising how great God is. The middle 12 brachas are middle 13 brachas are things that we need. The last three are saying thank you. So that's what it says that a person has to do. So a person needs rachmanis, he should start feeling it first from himself, because he has to feel that he needs to have Hashem give him rachmanis. La'ir alav rachamim rabi memakar harachamim. To arouse upon him, not just the rachmanis that we can relate to. The mercy that we can relate to is there's a difference between avarachamon and avarachamim. You notice that in, for example, in by the Yom Narayim, on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, it says by the Shemoneh Esrei, and if you look in the Siddur where by the Shemoneh Esrei for those 2 days, it says Avinu Avarachamon, and there's an asterisk, and you look down the bottom, and it says B'mincha V'Shabbos Se Avarachamim. You know what I'm talking about? You've seen that before? Make sense? Remember that? Okay. So, because what's the difference? Is the difference between Rachaman and Rachamim. Rachaman is within the Seder Istalshalus. Av is referred to the level of Chochma. Father is always, Av Aim is mother and father. Mm-hmm. So Av is Chochma. And Av Rachaman then means that level of Rachmanis, which is within Seder Histalshalus, within the creation process, which is, we would say, if it's within the creation process, you can talk about this later, then it's subject to the limitations of Seder Histalshalus. Uh-huh. It's limited. Everything within this, the creation process is limited to its specific level. Okay, so Tiferes of Atzilus happens to be pretty good.
Yeah, that's not
too. If you're getting a hashbah straight from Tiferes of Atzilus, you're not gonna mind.
It's not too shabby.
Not at all. You're not gonna complain. Okay? But the Alter Rebbe would. Okay?
And could.
Yeah. Because he says, No. Don't go for the Cupid doll.
Go for the chump change.
Go for the big lottery, the mega prize over there. Okay? He says, you want the Avarachamim. Avarachamim, he says, Mincha by Shabbos is referred to as Riven the Kol Riven, the desirous of the desirous time. Or in English, it would be the most desirous of times.
Hmm.
Okay, it's the most special time in the week is Mincha Shabbos.
Mincha Shabbos.
Okay? Because as Shabbos, when Shabbos starts, so Shabbos is a certain level of godliness which is introduced into the world. And that godliness continues to increase until Shabbos is over. So when is that godliness the greatest then? It's Mincha time. Right before Shabbos is over. It's going, and it gets up, v'hu rachum, it stops.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So the... So because you're relating to that point, because Shabbos is not a day of the week. Okay, what does that mean? Is how do you, in Hebrew, it's very interesting how they name the days of the week. You have Yom Rishon, Yom Sheni, Yom Shlishi, etc. Yom Shishi, Shabbos. Okay, it's not called Yom Shvi'i. Because it's not Yom Shvi'i, it's not the seventh day. It's you have the 6 days, that's normal. Everything's going the way it's supposed to be. Come Shabbos, different system.
Yeah.
To such an extent that it even affects, it's even talked about in Nigla. I don't remember if we talked about this. But it talks about in Baba Kama. Yeah. With a Shor Shanaga, with a goring ox. You ever learned Baba Kama? Okay, you have a goring ox. If it gores one time or two times, so it's a tom. The owner of the ox only has to pay half damages. If it gores three times, so then he becomes a mu'ed. It's a custom that this animal is a dangerous animal, and the ox and the owner of the ox has to pay full damages. But there's all kinds of wait a minute over there. Hold it. It's not so simple. Okay. If an animal gores on a Thursday, the owner pays half. And if he gores on a Friday, the owner of the animal pays half. If he gores on Shabbos now, so it seems like it's three consecutive days. Okay? So he's done it three. No. Shabbos is not figured in. He would have to gore again on Sunday to become a mu'ud. Likewise, also, if the ox gores this Shabbos and next Shabbos and the Shabbos after that, so then the animal's a mu'ud for Shabbos. He's considered, and if he gores during the middle of the week, so then he's considered a tam again. So he gored this week on Shabbos, next week on Shabbos, the following week on Shabbos, and then gores again on the following Sunday. So on that Sunday he's going to pay half. So the Tosfos asks a question, what does a cow know from Shabbos?
Right.
Okay, it says that you should allow your animals to rest. And he gives a very balabatisha answer. He says that maybe the cow sees that the owner is wearing Shabbos clothes, is getting milk different. We're talking about a goring ox. The ox is not getting milk different.
No,
he's not getting milk. But he sees that the owner is different. He sees he's getting fed differently. Maybe he's got they hire a goy to feed him. So there's a whole, this spooks out the cow, and the cow gets all nervous from it. That's the answer the Tosfos gives. But the dumb animals, as we refer to them, since they don't have the intellect that we have, which would be confused if we were to see things,
they do have spirit, right.
They can see that it's Shabbos.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's a famous story with the Rebbe Rishab. Was it Rebbe Rishab? I want to say it was Rebbe Rishab. When Rebbe Rishab was younger, it was the Rebbe Marash? That's the most. No, it's the Rebbe Rishab and the Rebbe Marash. The Rebbe Rishab came home one day. He's all upset. His father, the Rebbe Marash, asked him, "What are you so upset about?" So he said, "My teacher hit me today." So then the general rule was, is your teacher hit you, the father would say, okay, take out the belt.
And give you a whack.
Give a whack, and then say, okay, why? What did you get hit for?
Right.
Okay? Uh-huh. So the Marash a little bit better. He says, what did he hit you for? He says, we're learning in Mishnayos that if a person gets lost in the desert in the forest and loses track of the day, so she counts 6 days, the seventh day is Shabbos. So he said, I made him explain it again, and I didn't understand it. So he said, and explained it again, and the third time he explained it, I said, I didn't get it, he hit me. Okay, so the Rebbe Marash said, I don't understand. What didn't you understand? You said it perfectly. He says, I don't understand how a person couldn't know what day Shabbos is, because even the rocks glow on Shabbos. The Rebbe Rishab is an 8-9-year-old. Okay, so the world is a whole different order on Shabbos.
Right.
So the Alter Rebbe over here says, don't waste your time with Avarachamon. Go Avarachamim, where the Shabbos is getting it from. Shabbos is getting it from higher than Seder Yistalshel. It's getting it from Kesser. Mm. Okay? And even the Alter Rebbe himself, when he's talking about himself personally, said, oh, by the way, to what it could be, this is also chump change. I don't want that either. I want Hashem.
Right.
Okay, but that's another story.
Yeah.
Then he says to draw down himself upon the Mokar Harachamim, not just Rachmanis from Kesser, which is where Rachamim would be, Avarachamim would be from the level of Kesser, but from Mokar Harachamim, from the source from where that comes, which is Pnimius the Kesser, which is delight. Okay, what would that figure in? That would figure in a person. You have such people that they see somebody who needs help, and they have such a tremendous excitement and feeling and passion that they're going to be able to help somebody. Okay, there are such people around. So this is he says, take it from there, the level where Hashem's the innermost levels of Hashem that can now relate to us, that Hashem is cutting us a break. It's very interesting. When I first became from, so we were told how to address a letter to the Ohel, address a letter to the Rebbe, and it was Pei Nun Pidya Nefesh, La'ur Rachamim Rabim, to arouse abundant mercy, Memakar Harachamim, from the source of mercy, Ba'avuri, for my sake, and you put your name. Okay? Is that the way you were taught? Memakar Harachamim? Okay. So that's the way we did it until, I don't remember exactly when, but someone handed a letter to the Rebbe, a pan, and it said that title on it, and the Rebbe said to this person, I don't need an address where to get the mercy from. You don't have to tell me I should get it from a Makar or Rachamim. Because, you know, he said kind of later, maybe I want to get it from someplace higher. So don't limit me just saying from the sources. So since that time, the address is always Pidya Nefesh Lo'er Rachamim Rabim Bavuri. For my sake, we leave out the Rachamim Rabim. Is that what you do now? No?
Okay.
Ask your Mashpia. You've heard about this? You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. Okay, so from the source of mercy, so lahashpiyalei a peres ba'olam hazeh v'karen kayam karen le'olam haba. I want to start talking Mishnayos over here, that we should have flow to us the fruit of this world, which generally, if a person's asking, what are the most things that a person asks for from Hashem? Food, health, and kids. That's basically it. Pay my bills, heal my sickness, and take care of my kids.
Yeah.
Those are the things that most people are asking for. Those are the things that we worry about the most. And those things that are giving us the problems. So, but it's interesting. When it says the peres ba'olam hazeh and karen le'olam haba, everybody's going to agree, and he's looking at the explanation of that Mishnah in Masechta Peah. We say Elo Dvarim Shayom Alchav Perasim Alzarkim 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 Elo Dvarim Shadam Oichel Perasim Alzarkim 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 is a Mishnah in Peah. So if you look over there, the commentaries, Olam Aforshim say Olam Haba over there means the world to come doesn't mean Gan Eden or Yemaisim Mashiach. It means the time of Tchias HaMaisim.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, which is the final redemption, the final level of the different epochs that there are. Okay, the neshama is, it starts it out in Gan Eden. And then it comes down into this world, this physical world. And then it goes back to Gan Eden. And then what happens is Mashiach comes, and we have how many years Mashiach is doing whatever Mashiach is doing. And then finally he gives the high sign, and we have the Beis HaMikdash is built, and we have Tchias HaMaisim. And then that's it. Ta-da-da-da! And however long that lasts for.
Hmm.
Okay? So if Olam Haba is where you get the Karen, the principle. So any, which is Tchias HaMaisim, so anything before Tchias HaMaisim is going to be considered Olam Hazeh, this world. Because you think about it, Olam Hazeh means right now, right?
Right.
Okay?
Right.
What about all the neshamas that have already passed out of their bodies? What's the scoop with them? They are right now in Gan Eden. So Gan Eden, though they're sitting and basking in a ray of divinity and they can see all that they've accomplished till in their lifetime, that's only Olam Hazeh.
Mm-hmm.
And what are they getting in Olam Hazeh? This great ray of effulgence that the Alter Rebbe talks about, and he poo-poos in chapter 4, at the beginning, at the end of chapter 4, and he says, that's why we say better is 1 hour in tshuva, ma'asim tovim, in this world than the whole world to come, because the world to come, olam, that we're talking about over there, is talking about neshamas, and as they're divested of bodies, sitting up in Gan Eden someplace, and they're getting this ziva shechina, this ray, this little bit of godliness, which is the effect of the mitzvahs that they did in this world, that they, the neshamas, even without bodies, are able to appreciate. Because since it is that the neshama, even without a body, remains an intellectual organism, it has seichel and midas, which means you could go right over its head too, so to speak, if it had a head.
Yeah.
There could be too much godliness even for a neshama.
Yeah.
So...
yeah.
That which the neshama is getting now, while we're waiting for Mashiach to come and perform the resurrection, it still fits into the category of peiros.
Yeah, this world.
It's only just the interest.
Yeah,
the fruit of the labor. It's not the labor itself. It's not the principle. It's just the interest. Okay. But the Karen, what's really happening? What's really the real Rachmanis? The real expression of godliness that we are going to receive is an Olam Haba, okay, by Tchias HaMaisim, that there the physical world is going to convey an infinite dimension. And even still, the Alter Rebbe said about himself, I don't want that either.
Right.
Because what is that?
Still an expression.
That, yes, is only an expression.
Still
even
Tchias
HaMaisim, it's an expression of Hashem's innermost will, desire, and pleasure. It's the highest thing generally that we can relate to. With the Alter Rebbe said, I don't want that's
still stuff.
Chach.
Still stuff.
Yeah, I want Hashem.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Alter Rebbe was cool. Anyway. Pirush haperus hu hashpoh hanishpos b'makor harachamim b'chayachayim baruch hu. When you say the fruit, that this is what's coming down from the source of mercy that we're talking about, which he calls here, not only do we get an address, b'makor harachamim, but we get a name too, chay hachayim baruch hu, which he used this expression, chay hachayim, in chapter, come on, brain. It's with sign of the will of the soul is to go out of its body and to cleave to its source in Makar Chai HaChayim, even though it's going to become Kachul Ratzin of Ratzinhood. Chapter 19. So that the life of lives, What is it that we mean when we call Hashem the life of lives? You call Hashem the enlivener, the creator, the Bara Olam. Those are lower levels. Those are things that relate to the world directly. Chai HaChayim. Chayim is Panemius. Chai HaChayim is Soviv. He's going to talk about this Soviv business soon. Okay? That where is it that our life force is ultimately coming from, and what our soul wants to get back to is, he said before, is to leave the body and to cleave to the Chai HaChayim, the source of life. Not to cleave to life, but to the source of life. Right. To go beyond the limitations of the creation process. And that godliness, which supersedes the creation process, should be drawn down to us through the creation process of these different descent of worlds from below, from above to above, below. Until it's manifested, it closes itself in this world, and guess what? The things that we're asking for, we get answered. Children, life, and sustenance. Yeah. What's the principle? The principle is described when you understand this verse in Tehillim that says how your mitzvah is very broad. This is now the side. This is now we're finally going on the tangent. Okay, usually the way that the Alter Rebbe works in the presentation of my Maamarim and discourses afterwards is that we'd say a pasuk, we'd ask a couple of questions on it, and then we go on a tangent. And this one, we're already 10 lines into it before he gets to the pasuk. So, simply because the Alter Rebbe at this point, I don't know how simple it is, was of the mindset that he really shouldn't have to try so hard to get you use guys to give tzedakah. Okay? But it says, so broad is your mitzvah is very broad. So he says right away, it should have said your mitzvahs are broad. And what do you mean broad mitzvahs? How broad are Hashem's mitzvahs? You know, how much do you love me? This much? I mean, you know, hello. How broad is Hashem?
Right.
Okay, so, but he says, mitzvosecha daikahu mitzvah tzedakah. When it says your mitzvah, the David HaMelech wasn't lying. He was being exact, that it refers to one specific mitzvah, which is the mitzvah of Hashem, mamish, that's tzedakah. Now, we have a statement explaining the verse, Magid Devar of Yaakov, Chukav Mishpat of Yisrael, that Hashem told to Jacob, his statutes and his ordinances, Magid Devar of Yaakov, Chukav Mishpat of Yisrael, to Jacob, to Israel. And it says, what does it mean, his statutes and his ordinances? So the commentaries say that anything that Hashem commanded us, Hashem does. And there's a whole thing, the whole explanation. What does it mean that Hashem puts on tefillin? It's in the Bar Mitzvah Mimer. And the whole thing over there with the Dalet Meichin. There's four parts of the brain, the drawing down of the Dalet Meichin inside. And the Gemara talks, what's written in Hashem's tefillin? What is it? Hashem doesn't need a reminder. We put on the tefillin to remind us that Hashem Echad. It's an Eis al Yadecha. A sign to remind us that Hashem is one. Hashem doesn't need a sign to remind him he's one. He's one. What's inside Hashem's tefillin? The Goy Echad Ba'aretz. You know, there's one nation in the land, Yisrael. Yisrael is Goy Echad Ba'aretz. It's what's inside Hashem's tefillin. Okay, so Hashem puts on tefillin. But when you say Hashem puts on tefillin, you have to say Kiviyachol, so to speak.
Right.
Because Hashem doesn't have a body, there is no leather boxes that Hashem has, there's right. No parchments that have written in them. this, it's not, it's to be taken and understood in a spirit, in a spiritual way.
Yeah.
But when it comes to the mitzvah of tzedakah,
mm-hmm.
the very fact that Hashem made a creation is an expression of tzedakah exactly the same way like we do tzedakah.
Right.
For Hashem to say there was that Hashem is doing tzedakah by making the creation, you don't say a kiviyachol, you don't say a so to speak.
It's fact.
Mamash. Okay, we are the recipients of Hashem's tzedakah.
Yeah,
and that's why it says, boy, David HaMelech shows the word mitzvasecha instead of mitzvasecha, because what he was talking about there was relating to Hashem as Hashem does this tzedakah to create the world. He says, "Masha Kodesh Baruch Hu b'chayiva atzma oisit tami lahachiyis ha'olamos." That that Hashem, with His glory and His essence, is constantly doing to enliven the worlds. V'yaseh, and He will do liyasid in the future. B'yester says to yester ois, and that with more power and with more might. K'moshe kasev v'shamer derech avay lasis tzedakah, as it says that you should guard the way of Hashem to do tzedakah. That's talking to us. What's the way of Hashem? The fact that we even are here is an expression of the way of Hashem. Going back now half a second. It says that just like a Kadosh Baruch Hu with His glory and His essence constantly enlivens the world, contains it in an oxymoron. It's an inherent contradiction. Because Kavod is the relationship that Hashem has with us, and Atzma is with her relationship that Hashem has with Himself. And if you're talking about Hashem making the world, so is Atzma involved with the creation? Is the essence of it? Because we've talked about before that the word essence and revelation are a position one to the other. Revelation is how we relate to Hashem, and Atzma's essence is how Hashem relates to Himself. We don't relate to essence. But the Alter Rebbe did talk before, this is one of the later chapters in the first section of Tanya, about revelations. This world has the lowest revelation of any world in creation. Duh. Okay.
Give it a little time, I got to figure that out.
Yes. Okay. Such that you could go your whole life and never think there's a God. Rahman al-Islam. Okay. Angels have no problems. Angels, they got that little bit of godliness going on, and they see the Elokus that's enlivening their neshamas, and they get all excited because they know, if we're on this level, you know what? There's got to be godliness on a higher level. And they're making all kinds of noise. They want to get to the higher level.
Yeah.
Okay? That's the Rosh Gadol that we talk about when in Musaf. But the Alter Rebbe says that the presence of Etzem and revelation are inversely related.
Yeah.
If you can see it, then you're not getting much.
Then it's not much.
Okay. Right. The fact that we don't see the revelation means that Hashem's essence is present here in Hashem's totality. In the totality of Hashem's essence.
Right.
Okay, why don't we get blown away from it? Because we can't see it.
He's hiding it well.
We can't, it's not, and we're not in a position that we can, so if we can't see it, so what? You know, it doesn't affect me. No, but the answer is yeah, it does. Because what is Hashem's essence? Hashem's essence is the Dira B'Tachtonim, that Hashem wants this physical world to be a conveyor of not just revelation, not just some ha'ara, some kavod. I am mekayim kavod is what the malachim are saying. They're not asking, I am mekayim atzmusi. They're saying, where is His glory? We know there's a little bit more someplace. Can we have some more, please? Just a little bit more? He says, no. Our deal is we relate. When we do a mitzvah, and he's talked about this a bunch of times already in the earlier chapters of Agaras HaKadosh, that when we're doing a mitzvah, we are connecting, relating to, and bringing into existence, or bringing into reality, Hashem's essence. That's why it says Kvedeva Atzmai. The Shavderech Havai Lassus Tzedakah Kamai Derech Shehalchin Ba Mi'ir La'ir. So it says, what's Derech Hashem? It says you should guard the way of Hashem or keep the way of Hashem to do tzedakah. And we use this expression, the way of Hashem, like how you would stick to the road when you're going from one city to the next. So kacha tzedakah. So it is with tzedakah. Hu b'chinas gilei ha'oris orein sev baruch hu. When a person gives tzedakah, what happens now is you have a revelation of a ray. It's only a ray because, after all, you only gave a quarter. You know, that's how much you gave, and that's how much you're going to get. And the world is still only limited by three dimensions. So there's only just so much that it can actually come down. But what is it? It's a ray of the infiniteness of Hashem, Seviv Kol Omin, which, excuse me, encompasses all worlds. He's going to talk about the idea of encompassing soon, but I don't have to. Shiyarvi is Galad, Eilam Azev, Yisrus L'Tata, B'Teir, Tzedakah V'Chesed. V'Chesed Chinam. And this comes down, it reveals itself in this world when, with an arousal from below, when we get excited with our learning Torah, with our giving tzedakah, when we do unwarranted acts of kindness. And when is it that it gets revealed? When is it that we're going to see all this? Is Lasid Lava, B'Tiyas Amesim. Is when Mashiach comes,
yes.
And the resurrection has occurred. B'yesser seis v'yesser oy is more than power, more might. Le'ein keitz v'v'chinas gilei ha'ara began Eden atachton ve'elyon. Even more so than what's manifest in the lower Gan Eden and even in the higher Gan Eden. Okay, so when the souls come back into the body, the godliness that they're going to be privileged to is no way comparable to anything that the neshama without a body can relate to. Okay, and what is it going to be based on? It's going to be based on where is the person going to be sitting when Mashiach comes? Depends on what he's able to tap into now.
Yeah,
this is where we get to do with the mitzvahs. This is where we get to improve. This is why it says better is 1 hour of this world than the whole world to come, because more than anything, this is the where you get to improve. When a person passes away, sorry. Once Mashiach has already come, that's it.
Yeah.
When Tchias HaMesim is here, don't say, "Oops, wait a minute, I should have done more." Okay, that's not gonna fly.
Not gonna fly.
Okay, you'll come up with all kinds of excuses. Hashem's gonna go, "Nah." Okay, you had your opportunity. I gave you 5,775 years to get your act together. I think that was enough.
Yeah.
Okay, so you got to get them in now. Get those mitzvahs in now, specifically the giving of tzedakah.
Yeah.
Shahari kol neshama ma'is ha-tzadikim v'ha-tanoim v'ha-nevim. Because it says, all the souls of the righteous, which that refers to those like the Baal Shem Tov and the Mezrich HaMagid, and the Tanoim, the people who wrote the Mishnah, and the Gemara, those people. V'Nevi'im, the people who appear in the Bible. Sheheim Ata Began Edna Elyain, Baroim HaMailis. Those guys are all sitting there, call them guys, yeah. Those holy individuals that are mentioned even in the Bible, what are they doing? They're sitting in Gan Eden.
Yeah.
They're in which Gan Eden? We're going to assume by now, after 3,000 years or so, that the Nevi'im probably if they didn't go straight to Gan Eden, not Elyon to begin with, they're probably there now.
Yeah.
Okay. So what happens when Mashiach comes is Yislav Shubagufeim La'asid, that they will be enclosed in their bodies in the future, V'yimakumu B'zman HaTchia, and they'll get up by the resurrection, Lehen is Meziv HaShchina, to derive benefit from something which is still only just the ray of godliness, even though it's very essential, because at that point, we will be able to see the infiniteness contained within every physical object. Which means that not that the physical objects are going to cease to be three-dimensional.
No.
You're still going to sit down on a chair.
You see the source.
But you'll be able to see the godliness creating the source. What level of godliness not just the godliness that relates to the creation process, but even the godliness which supersedes it, the soviv kolomim.
Yeah.
Okay, that soviv kolomim, I think he says it right now. Yeah, he goes into that the soviv kolomim doesn't mean it's encompassing it, it doesn't mean it's surrounding it, even though the word soviv means to encircle or encompass. Mm. It's one of those things, even though it says it, that's not what it means. Mm. The word, he said back in chapter 48, that of Tanya, that the word encompassing means that it's too great a revelation to be manifest within the limits and the confines of the creation process. But where is it? It's right here.
Encompassing, right.
It's right here.
Yeah.
It's not out there someplace. Yeah, it's not the atmosphere.
No.
It's not like the, even what the Rambam talks about, the ninth...
The spheres,
the
yeah.
ninth machzor that he talks about over there in the beginning of Hilchos Yesodei HaTorah.
Right.
Where there's nothing in it, it's just keeping everything inside of it so it doesn't fall apart. That we, you know, the earth doesn't... The universe doesn't spill out all over the place, make a big mess. You know, so... it's not even that, because that's physical.
Right.
Okay, this is the godly... Which that, by the way, is out there. Many, many miles away. In any direction you point, that's where that level is
doing
of
it.
Physical existence.
Yeah,
it's keeping the world all, the universe all together, a nice bundle.
Right, yes.
Okay, we're talking about godliness, which is the infiniteness of Hashem, which is right here. The only problem is that we can't see it. We don't realize it. It's bringing everything into existence, and we see how everything exists. In three dimensions, the same, regardless of how alive it might be. A person, an animal, a plant, a rock, are all enlivened on different levels, but they all exist the same. That's the effect of the soviv kolomim. It relates to the creation, every aspect. This is why it's called soviv.
Right.
Because where's the starting point in the circle?
Yes.
Every place in the circle relates to every point in the circle inside, the same, exactly the same.
Exactly, yes.
Okay, so this level of godliness relates to the entire creation all on an equal basis. Okay, we're going to stop here. We got to a place to stop, I think. Maybe I'll have to go a little bit further. Because what are they getting right now? Right now the neshamas are getting mamali kol olamim. They're getting godliness that fits.
Mm.
A level of godliness that they can understand. That they can derive benefit from it because it's a delight which is based on understanding.
Fits that world, right.
Yeah, they understand this level of godliness that they got. It's the what is it? It's the result of all the mitzvahs that they did.
Mm.
And now they're understanding the ramifications of all the mitzvahs that they did. And they're going, wow, this is awesome. That's what's happening with the neshamas in Gan Eden now. Yeah. But that's very limited. That's all pismimis. That's all mamali kolam. That's all enclosed in specific levels. Shehuva v'kinis histalshus memadrega l'madrega, which that goes from one different level to the next. Aditzimsumim atzumim, from one level to the next level through the various contractions. Kamayim rizal, but yud nivra ha'olam haba. And what does it all amount up to? It all amounts up to a yud, which a yud is just a little point.
A dot.
So what is it that the souls are getting, even in Gan Eden and Elyon? It's just a little point, a dribble.
A dot.
A dribble of godliness.
Sheesh.
V'hu b'chines chachmi ilo ha'nikris Eden ha'elyon. And that is, what is that dot, that yud, which created the world to come? That is the level of Chachma of Atzilus, which Chachma of Atzilus is called the heavenly delight.
Yeah.
Gan Eden is Bina. It says Gan means the garden.
Yeah.
Okay, so Gan is outside of Eden.
Uh-huh.
Gan, we know, for example, when it says Gan is numerical 53, corresponding to Gan Sidre Torah, the 53... Parshas in the Chumash,
yeah.
that's the garden to get you to, that's the antechamber to get you into Eden, which is the divine Chachma, which is higher than that. Ha ha'ayin ha'mistalshul mislabeshes b'chol ha'olam ha'is k'mo shekasuv kulam b'chachma ha'sisa b'chachma tichya. Okay, that it says, this is a very long sentence. Okay. As it says, and I don't want to run through it. If I run through it, I'll wind up doing
it. Yeah, let's.
So we should start again next week. We'll go back a little bit. This is the manifestation of the radiation of the Garden of Eden, the level of Malik Halomim. We'll take it back from there.
Yeah, good.
Which is...
Yeah.
That's where he's paragraphing in English. I'm not necessarily going to agree because I think it's still in all of a sentence. But that's 1, 2, 3, 4, fifth line down, last word, Lafi, on page 484. On 483, it's the paragraph that starts, that is the manifestation of the radiance as is in Gan Eden. To be continued.
Yeah, good.